Hello and welcome to the Luke Miller Podcast. I'm glad you're able to join us as we're continuing our journey in the book of Proverbs. I mean, really, we haven't jumped too far into the book of Proverbs. Everything we've kind of talked about is, I want to say, very introductory in the sense that we've looked at wisdom literature in general and biblical wisdom in general. Last week, we got a little further into this and saw how the Bible defines wisdom. It's not just head knowledge. It's also the ability to work with your hands. We saw a few surprises, like there's the shipbuilders and the weavers. And we saw that there is also professional mourners in the Bible, and that's considered part of wisdom, which is a very interesting component of it that we don't often focus on, the hands-on part of wisdom. I want to continue this week as we get ready to dive in or look even further into some of the key themes that we see and key people. What's different about Proverbs is that they are very, I want to say sporadic, but because they are short, and often you'll see themes pop up throughout all different chapters, but maybe only for one proverb within that chapter, or one verse or two verses within that chapter, you'll see a theme come up. It's not until you take a look at the overarching theme or how the picture it paints over the course of all the chapters that you really start to get a good picture of what the writer is talking about when it comes to wisdom in this area. I mean, when we look at Proverbs, we see that they're brief. We know that they are grounded in experience. They often arise from careful observation of life and of the world around the writer. They are also expressed in memorable form. There's a reason why if I say Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, that you could go and finish the rest of the rhyme, because you've heard it over and over, and it's memorable, right? Jack and Jill went up the hill, right, to fetch a pail of water, and we know this. I mean, I don't read Jack and Jill every day. I don't read Humpty Dumpty every day, but it's ingrained in me from that time of a kid when you would hear that over and over. And so they're presented in a very memorable form, short and memorable form, and they give this, I want to say, they present really valuable insight into the world around, how to live life properly. In many ways, it's a guide to daily living and having wisdom in daily living. There are limitations to a proverb. And even just talking about how they are a bit sporadic or themes pop up throughout different chapters, but not necessarily in large chunks within that chapter, you see that there are limitations. A single wisdom sentence lacks context, right? So we shouldn't assume that the statement of reality means approval of it. That's the other thing. It's important to compare proverb with proverb to get that larger picture. Chapter 17 of Proverbs is a good example of this when looking at bribes, right? If you look at chapter 17, verse 8, it says, "A bribe is seen as a charm by one who gives it. They think success will come at every turn." Right? Just reading that, it does not paint a bad picture of what a bribe is, right? A bribe is seen as a charm by one who gives it. They think success will come at every turn. Now, there are key words in there like "they think" and "is seen as," which doesn't present a truth in any way. But on the initial look at it, this looks like a passage that says, okay, bribes are all right. Success will come at every turn. It's a charm by one who gives it. But you jump down almost 15 verses and you arrive at verse 23, which says, "The wicked accept bribes in secret to pervert the course of justice." So even within this own chapter, you see that there is a larger picture being painted here. It's very difficult to get a clear picture just by reading one verse or a single wisdom sentence. All right. It is a perfect book. And I use this all the time when I teach at Bible colleges or seminaries. Is I love this book for using those cross references that are sitting in your Bible. Lots of times you got those cross references sitting in the middle of your Bible. A perfect place. And I always like to see how far you can go in the book of Proverbs by following the cross references. Right, chapter 17, verse 8 points to chapter 17, verse 23. Chapter 17, 23 points to another passage talking about bribes. And it's a great exercise in what it means to do due diligence in reading your Bible and actively being able to seek out what the full picture of wisdom should be. And so I like doing that. And you choose a topic in the book of Proverbs and use those cross-references. And it'll start to, I think it's, obviously I'm biased, I think it's a very fun exercise in seeing how wisdom is crafted, not only in this book, but just in the Bible as a whole. It'll take you outside the book of Proverbs, absolutely. But trying to stay within Proverbs gives you a good picture of how we should approach this book as a whole. Now, within all the chapters of Proverbs, there are certain themes that show up, right? Not just in a whole chapter dedicated to one thing, and we do have some of that, but we see it more so where there's a couple verses in each chapter or every other chapter which talks about a certain topic. And one of the key things is speech, how we use our words. It's fundamentally one of the things that probably gets us in trouble most often is how we use our words. And so we see that there is several themes, especially that show up related to words. And I wanted to dive into a few of them today, and we can see even just the smallest details in how Proverbs describes them. So the first one, it's a very straightforward one. It's the liar. You know, liar, liar, pants on fire. And the liar is a very clear, is very clear in its condemnation of liars, right? And of lying in and of itself. Lying is characterized as a form of hatred towards the victim. And the writer of Proverbs is very clear on what this also looks like. And so I think it's important for us to take a look at this. If we go back one chapter to Proverbs chapter 6, it says there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness that pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Most of those in that verse are dealing with the language we use. The writer of Proverbs is convinced that the truth will endure, but lies will fail. And while lying is definitely the most overt or in form of using our words that we probably know the definition of, there's actually several more that we see all within talking about speech and how we use it. One of the two of the next ones are very similar. And this is why I think it's very important for us to take a look at this, is because there's small differences yet very important. The next one is called the whisperer. Now, again, this is using words, and it's only mentioned in a few Proverbs, but the definition of a whisper is very much a close companion to a person who gossips. And it's someone who turns the head of truth, right? It takes the truth and manipulates it in a way that causes harm. I guess we could probably say that this is, Proverbs is describing this as the passive-aggressive approach to it. But it twists the truth just enough that it can cause harm to others. It's why it's called the whisper. It's not shared overtly. It's passed on from one person to the next. An example of this is if you remember way back to youth group, or maybe you've played this as an icebreaker game before, but there is a game called Telephone where everyone gets in a long line, maybe 20, 25 people, and the first person whispers a phrase. Usually it's a difficult one, but it's meant to be that as you whisper to the next person and the next person and the next person, it changes a little bit every time. Now, unfortunately, by the end of the line, it very rarely resembles what it started out with. And this is probably a good way to talk about the whisper. You get this manipulation of the truth, turn it into something harmful, and when you pass it on from one to the next, to the next, to the next, it gets progressively more harmful. And the whisper is something that we see scripture talk about, and again, words talk about, that cause such harm. James spends such a good chunk of time talking about the danger of the tongue and how it's used as a double-edged sword. So you see this whisper, which is similar but different to gossiping. Gossiping is often just seen as this overt whisper and is more linked to revealing secrets just in general. If there's something that I tell someone in confidence and they go and share it and it causes harm. We see this in chapter 20, the gossip betrays confidence to avoid anyone who talks too much. And so, again, it's more of an overt whisper, but it's us using words in a way which harm others. Over and over, we see this theme of speech being used. So we've got the liar, we've got the whisper, we've got the gossip, and then we've got one that I guess we could call the flatterer, one who flatters. One who's, as Proverbs says, a person who has smooth words or makes smooth his words. It's linked to kind of the liar, yet it's something that someone who brings downfall to people. It's giving a false sense of ego to people to set them up to fail. And so it's contrasted in the book of Proverbs as someone who is opposite of one who tells the truth. It's a liar in a sense. So for example, if I did not know how to swim and we went to a swimming pool and you said to me, "Hey, Luke, I think you would be an awesome swimmer." And I would say, "Well, I don't know how to swim." And they said, "Well, you know what? You play sports and that's just linked, you know, swimming is a sport. So you should, by all intents and purposes, be a great swimmer. So just jump in and start swimming." And here you have a person who is building up me, in this case, to go swimming like I'd be good at it if I've never had done it before. And when I jump in, I sink to the bottom, right? It doesn't matter what the topic is. It's building a false sense of security around an area that you shouldn't have that security in. And so a lying tongue hates those it hurts. And a flattering mouth works ruins. So yes, there's lying in this, but it's all about building up that false sense of security. And then that brings us to really the last form of this, which is the scoffer. And this is a person who has pride and arrogance. It's a lot different than all the other ones we've talked about. Everything else we've talked about really kind of focuses on an aspect of lying, whether it's straight up lying, whether it's just slightly manipulating the truth, whether it is gossiping the truth, but sharing it when you shouldn't have, or whether it's building up a false sense of confidence. A lot of it deals with lying in Proverbs. The scoffer, as I call it, is characterized by pride, characterized by arrogance, and And he or she is so sure that they are right that they're not willing to receive rebuke from anyone who gives it. Not willing to take advice from anyone. Right? In 21 verse 24 it says, "The proud and arrogant person," the flatterer is his name, "behaves with insolent fury." Right? With the scoffer, it's taking it and saying, "You know what? I've got all the wisdom I need. I know everything I need to know about this entire situation. You don't need to give me advice. I don't need it." And I think we've all found ourselves in that place in one way, shape, or form, whether it is having to ask for advice on directions because we're lost, whether it's putting together an IKEA table or something like that, whatever it is, we don't want to sometimes ask for help because it is a pride thing, right? Not even an arrogance thing, but it's a pride thing of me having to ask for help. And this carries on in our own lives where if we don't do this, I mean, if we just simply say, "I can do this and I don't need help," then we're allowing wisdom to pass by us. Now, next week, I want to take a look at something else. Two very interesting contrasts. We have the righteous and the wicked, and the wise and the foolish person, which are two very key points in this. And we'll talk about this, but I want to focus on words today. And because that's how so much conflict starts, is through our words. If we approached conflict or conflict resolution properly, even when someone has done actions towards us, how we respond with our words can help shape whether there is going to be redemption in that story or in that situation. Again, a lot of Proverbs is all about figuring out what this looks like in a practical day-to-day life, right? And my hope is that by us identifying some of these key categories of people in Proverbs, that we will be able to even actively see where this may happen to us, and we may be doing this in our own lives. Again, we've got kind of those five different categories of the liar, the whisperer, the gossip, the one who flatters, and the one who's got a lot of pride and is not willing to take rebuke or not willing to receive wisdom from others. I think we can all say that at different points we fit into these categories, whether we like it or not. But the question is how are we going to respond to us identifying where this might be taking place in our lives? And that's where the book of Proverbs comes in. So here's what I'd love for you to do is, you know, choose one of these areas or choose an area of wisdom in the book of Proverbs and find those cross references where you can see a bigger picture of what some of these themes are as you start to paint a larger picture of these themes, and hopefully you're able to maybe see where you can do better, where I can do better, where we can do better with our words. I'm enjoying Proverbs because of this whole thing. It's a very interactive book where you can jump around from place to place and really dive into scripture on your own and be very active in your study of God's word. So I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. We're going to be continuing this for a little while. And so I'm going to stop there for today. Next week, we're going to look at the righteous and the wicked. We're going to look at the wise and the fool words and themes that continually show up in the book of Proverbs. But I'm going to end it there today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to pray and then we can head out. God, I just thank you for today. I thank you that we can read about how beneficial and how harmful words can be to those around us and in our own lives. And so I pray, God, that you will soften our hearts as we look at some of these themes in Proverbs and see that some of them may be directed towards us in areas where we can improve. And our prayer today is that we will be able to see where we can improve and use these Proverbs as that guide to daily living for how we can live wisely and fear you, God. And so we thank you for today. We thank you for the words of wisdom that we have read from Proverbs, and then we'll take them and use them throughout the next days and weeks as we go ahead. So we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done in our lives, and we pray these things all in your amazing name. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me, and I'm looking forward to next week as we continue on Proverbs and biblical wisdom. I hope you join me. Take care and have a great week.